Tuesday night, I preached a message from the first four verses of this 42nd chapter of Isaiah. We saw four things from this first four verses. Number one, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the person of the Messiah. He's God. He's God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And all things were made by Him. He became a man. Scripture says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This Word, who is God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten Son of God. He's God and He's man. Two entirely different natures in one person. And yet, He's the God-man. Somebody said, if we could, we ought to say that word even without a hyphen. He's the God-man. He's God, perfect God. He's man, perfect man. But not only that, He's God's man. He's God, He's the God-man, and He's God's man. He's the man which God made. A body hast thou prepared me. He's the man whom God sent into the world to redeem a people. He said, when He spoke in Nazareth, He said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. Because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty the captives, to deliver the prisoner out of the prison house, give sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, no, I'm God's man. And then here He called Him in verse 1, my servant. This God-man is my servant. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon Himself the form of a servant. I'm among you as he that serveth. Then He calls Him mine elect, chosen to be God's servant. The hymn writer said, Christ be my first elect, God said, and then chose us in our head. He's the head, we're the body. He's my first elect, my firstborn of every creature, my servant, mine elect, in whom I delighteth, in whom my soul delighteth. God is well pleased with Him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. My beloved Son. In the flesh, no man can please God, but this man did. God's pleasure's upon Him and us who are in Him, in whom my soul delighteth. And then He says, I put my Spirit upon Him, and He'll bring forth judgment. Christ is the power and the wisdom of God who enables God to be just and justifier. He'll bring forth judgment. He'll satisfy judgment. He'll take away judgment. And those who are in Him will not fear the judgment because He set forth judgment on the earth. That's His person. In verse 2, He tells us about His kingdom. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It says in verse 2, He'll not cry. He doesn't need to raise His voice. He doesn't need to create a tumult. He doesn't need to buy time on television to promote His cause. His voice need not be raised in order to be heard because He speaks by His Spirit to the heart. Oh, if all we preachers could learn that. He doesn't need to lift up His voice and scream and yell and badger people and browbeat them and strive over words. He doesn't need to lift up a banner. He doesn't need to organize a sit-in or a stand-in or a walk-in. He doesn't need a campaign in the streets. He doesn't need to cry out or lift up his voice or strive with men or let his voice be heard in the streets. His voice will be heard to everyone he calls. Because his kingdom's not of this world. His kingdom's not meat and drink and organizations and followers. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. His enemies are not people. His enemies are principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. He's dealing with them in you and about you. But you're not his enemy. They're his enemies. And his weapons are not carnal. They say God has no hands but yours. Don't be as sure of that now. God has no feet but yours. I wouldn't bank on that. He said, my arm's not short that I can't say. My ear's not heavy that I can't hear. The eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. All flesh is under his control. The heart of the king's in the hands of the Lord. He'll turn it whithersoever he will. He doesn't need to cry. He doesn't need to lift up his voice. He doesn't need to march in the streets. He doesn't need to strive with men over words. His people are made willing in the day of his power. Lydia heard his voice in the heart. Moved the heart. And then his subjects, verse 3, his subjects, the bruised reeds, the smoking flax. The bruised reed is that little plant. That stem of the plant is the reed. And it's been bruised and mangled. It doesn't look like it's worth a thing. It's a weak weed. It's a wounded weed. It's a bruised and mangled by the fall. But he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. A bruised reed. He won't break it. He won't throw it away. He won't discard it. He came to straighten it up. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to heal the contrite spirit. He came to save the lost, the weary and the heavy laden. The reeds that stand alone, they'll continue to stand alone. They'll always stand alone. But those dependent on his power will be healed. Heal the brokenhearted. Bruised reed, he'll not break the smoking flax. That's a wick. And a candle or a lamp. Wick's made out of flax. But this wick's not burning. It's not giving any light. All it's doing is smoking. It's smoking. It's not putting out any light. Putting out no flame. Just putting out offensive smoke. But he doesn't throw it away. He gives it some oil that it might burn brighter. That's his subjects. Those are his people. God has chosen the weak to confound the mighty. God has chosen those that are naught nothing to bring to naught the things that are. God has chosen what the world calls foolish to confound the wise, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Come unto me, all ye that are bruised and weary and heavy laden. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you. He's full of pity. Not just pity, but love and power. Come ye sinners, heavy laden, bruised, mangled by the fall. If you wait till you're better, you'll never come at all. The lamp will never burn on its own. And the bruised reed will never get well. Let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. Him. And then the next verse gives his victory. He shall not fail. Did you think he would? Did you ever entertain a thought that the Lord wants to do what he can't do? Desires to have what he can't have? Desires to own what men won't let him have? Nonsense. He shall not fail. He said in Isaiah 46, I've spoken, I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed it, I've promised it, I'll do it. He prayed in John 17, Father, you've given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. All that my Father giveth me, they will come to me. They will. And him that cometh to me, I will never cast out. You see, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is his will. What is the will of God? Christ said, this is his will. This is his will, him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I won't lose a one, but I'll raise it up at the last day. I'll not fail. I lay down my life for my sheep, and other sheep I have, and them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. At the end of his obedience, his suffering, his sacrifice, he said, it's finished. The first recorded words of the Lord Jesus Christ after he took on himself human flesh, the first recorded words that he spoke on this earth was to his mother when she complained about his straying away from them and them looking for him. He said to her, do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? That's his first recorded words as a human being. I must be about my Father's work. You know his last words were before he died? It's finished. My work is finished. I finished the work he gave me. It's finished. He can't fail. He shall not fail. He'll not even be discouraged. I am. Sometimes. But he's not. Everything, every step is ordained of God for his glory. And he's not discouraged. And he'll not fail nor be discouraged till he set judgment on this earth and the isles wait for his law. Now, who on earth, look at verse 5, who on earth can talk this way? Who in heaven can talk this way? Who speaks with such authority? Preachers today don't speak with any authority. They try to persuade and things of this nature. But this one speaks with authority. Who is this that promises such great things? Who is this that ordains such magnificent things? Well, he tells us who he is. All these things, his person, his victory, his people, subjects, his victory, thus saith the Lord, God the Lord. That's who says this. I tell you who I am, he said. I am he that created the heavens and stretched them out. Let there be light. Let the stars and the moon appear. Calls them all by name. That's who I am. Who is this that speaks with such authority? It's he that spread forth the earth. He that created and spread forth the whole earth, said, let their dry land appear. Created the animals, created man, and brought each animal to Adam to be named. What you gonna call that one, Adam? A dog. What you gonna call that one, Adam? A cat. What you gonna call that one? A blue jay. What you gonna call that one? A robin. That's right. He said, I created the earth. I created the earth, spread forth the earth, and everything that comes out of it, the trees, the plants, the flowers, and everything in the bed of the sea, magnificent things God's hand hath made. And he that giveth breath to the people, in him we live and move and have our being. We breathe by the power of God. Holding that hand up right now. By whose power? Mine? By his power. In him I live, I move my being. And when he wills it, my being stops here. Man's days are determined, the number of his months are with the Lord. God has set his bounds. He cannot pass. That's the word. That's God. I give birth to the people and spirit to them that walk therein. The Lord said, Abraham, why did that old lady laugh in there? You remember Sarah, 95 years old? God said she's going to have a son. She lied. She did. He said, why'd Sarah laugh? Is there anything too hard for God? Name something. He can even save my soul, justify me, make me like Christ and take me to glory. And he'll have to do it because I can't do one thing about that. I can't will it. You can talk about your free will, but mine's not free. It's bound in bondage and captivity to the flesh. It's not free unless he sets it free, unless he makes me with him in the day of his power. Then it's free. It's free to love him, free to choose him, free to obey him, free to do what his spirit says, yet still subject to that flesh. But one day that'll be gone, and that perfect, immaculate, holy, righteous will do nothing but that which pleases my Father. And I can say one day with Christ, I always do those things that please my Father. Don't you wish you could say it now? I never think anything that doesn't please my Father. Boy, that'll be the day, won't it? But it's coming. But who's going to bring it to pass? He must. He can. He's the only one who can, and he will. But he'll not fail. He said, and look at verse 6. He speaks to the Messiah in verse 6. He says to Christ, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I've called you to declare my righteousness. He set forth Christ on this earth to declare his righteousness. I've heard people say, well, the law God gave to Moses is a summary of his righteousness. No, it's not either. Christ is the, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ is a manifestation of God's holiness and God's righteousness. I've set you forth, he said, in righteousness to declare my holiness. Secondly, to fulfill my righteous covenant. And thirdly, to bring in an everlasting righteousness for my people. I've set you forth. Because by one man's sin, many were made sinners, unrighteous. By this man's obedience, many were made righteous. I've set you forth in righteousness. And secondly, he said, I'll hold your hand and I'll keep you. Remember Wednesday night I spoke about that and I asked you to turn to Isaiah 50. Why would the Lord Jesus Christ need God to give him strength? He's God himself. Why would he need the Lord to give him, to uphold him in power? He's God himself. Yes, but he's man. And subject to all trials and temptations and weaknesses of this flesh, hunger and thirst and pain and weariness. Jesus being weary with his journey. Is God tired? He says he never sleeps. But as a man he did. You see, he's a man. So here's the man, Christ Jesus, in Isaiah 50, verse 7. The Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. You remember, set my face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. Like a flint. And I know I shall not be ashamed. He's near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who's my adversary? Let him come near me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all stand waxed. They all shall wax old as a garment, and the moth. Moth shall eat them up. That's Christ speaking there. He'll help me. God said, the Lord God said to him, I've called you in righteousness. I'll hold your hand. I'll keep you. verse 6 of our text. Look back at it, 42. I'll give thee for covenant to the people. It's an everlasting covenant in Christ. I'll give you as a covenant. Only, is there another way to be saved? Well, there's only one covenant, and he's the covenant. He's the covenant. Like that story in the bulletin about the lady whose mind was going away, she loved to quote scripture. Remember reading that in the bulletin this morning, talking about she forgot everything but one word, him. But the whole Bible summed up in that word. The covenant, everything, salvation is him. Him. I'll give you for a covenant of the people. I'll give you an everlasting covenant. And look at this statement here. I want you to look at this a minute. I'll give you for a light of the heathen, of the Gentiles. The scripture says in John 1:4, in him was life and light, and that life was the light of men. Life and light. He's our light. The two things necessary for a blind man to see. What are they? Think a minute. Think with me. I ask you this morning, two things are absolutely essential for a man to see. What are they? Number one, you've got to have an eye. Isn't that right? You've got to have an eye. The seeing eyes of the Lord. That's right. He's the one who created the eye. You've got to be an eye. What's the second thing? It's absolutely essential. It's light. Even a healthy eye can't see if the light's not on. You can have a good eye and can't see a lick if there's no light. So it says here, Christ is the life, L-I-F-E. He's the one that gives thee the eye. And he himself is the light. In him is life, and he's the light of men. And that light is the light. Jesus Christ is our light. Let me show you a couple of scriptures. Turn to John 6, verse 40. I quoted this a moment ago, but it'll mean more to you now that we've talked about this. John 6, verse 40. It'll mean more to you now since we talked about this seeing eye. An eye can't, a person can't see unless he's got an eye. As he's got a living eye. And secondly, he can't see unless that eye's got some light. And that's true spiritually. A person can't spiritually know God, can't see God unless he's got a spiritual eye. But he can't see God unless God reveals himself in light. So watch this now. In John 6:40, and this is the will of God that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up for the last day. You've got to see the Son. And in seeing the Son, who do you see? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Who do you see when it's chapter 4? 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Now, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. This gospel of Christ, this gospel of faith and salvation, blood and righteousness, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God should shine to them. They can't see. They've got no seeing eye. They've got no light. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And why come we see? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The seeing eye is of God, and the light by which to see is his Son. Christ. It's when we preach Christ here all the time. He's the light. All right, let's look at these verses just a few moments. Here in verse Verse 7. I've sent you to open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners out of the prison, them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And the only one who can do that is in verse 8. I am the Lord. I am that I am. That's my name. I'm the Lord. That's my name. I'm the Lord Jehovah, God my Savior. That's my name. That's Christ's name. He fulfills all the names of God, Jehovah God. I'm the Lord. That's my name. Listen, one writer said this, I am the Lord. That's my name. I'm the everlasting, unchangeable, holy, omnipotent God of heaven and earth. Therefore, I both can and will fulfill all my promises, set up the kingdom of my dear Son, in spite of all opposition and all unbelief. And one day I'll destroy all idols and all enemies who are against the Lord and His Christ. I'm the Lord. That's my name. Now listen to this. And my glory, verse 8, I'm going to close with this. And my glory I won't give to another. And my praise I won't give to man-made gods. Let's look at that for a moment. My glory. What is God's glory? Well, it's not what a lot of people think it is. Although these things do glorify God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Revelation 4 said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and thanks, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. There's a sense in which everything that's made glorifies the power of God, the wisdom of God, the magnificence of God. But that's not His chief glory. I want you to turn with me to Exodus 33. Here's a conversation between the Lord God and Moses in Exodus 33. Now he said, my glory I won't give to another. And Moses in Exodus 33, verse 13, he said, Now therefore I pray thee, if I've found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And the Lord said to him, My presence shall go with thee, and I'll give you rest. And Moses said to him, If your presence go not with me, carry us not hence. For wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. We're different. God put a difference between the people on earth and His chosen people. And the Lord said, Moses, I'll do this thing also that thou hast spoken. I'll go with you, thy presence, and you found grace in my sight. I know you by name. And then Moses said, Lord, I beseech you, show me your glory. Well, if God's ultimate and primary glory is the things that are made, Moses has seen them. Moses has seen some wonders that you and I have never seen. Some demonstrations of the power of God such as are indescribable. But here he is saying, Lord, show me your glory. Your chief glory. And the Lord said, All right. I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll show mercy to whom I will show mercy. That's my glory. That's God's chief glory. His glory is in this very thing we're talking about here, in His Son, in His kingdom, in His chosen people, in His victory, in His righteousness. The sun is the brightness of His glory. The Son is the express image of His person, the exact likeness of His person. And His glory is revealed in the face of the Son. For they that glorify not the Son, and believe not the Son, and worship not the Son of God, do not glorify God. He says, my glory I'll not give to another. This is my glory. And my praise, He said here, my praise, I'll not share my praise with anyone else. I'll not share my praise with any graven image, with man-made gods. Let me give you verse 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass. The things that I told Adam about. The things I told Abraham that come to pass. The things I told Jacob and Israel. These things have come to pass. And new things did I declare. And before they sprang forth, I tell you of them. So sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise from the end of the earth. What is the new song? Well, I turn to Revelation chapter 5. This is the new song. It has to do with His Son. Revelation 5, verse 7 through 10. Revelation 5, 7. He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat on the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song, He said. And here it is, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we'll reign on the new earth. All right, may God bless His word to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the glory of God.